But at 15 minutes past 8 on News Talk Breakfast this morning with Shane Coleman and Ivan Yates, we want to turn to the news that early this morning, agreement was reached between the HSE and the INMO to avert the planned industrial action in emergency departments on Thursday. It seems that there wasn't a lot of new measures, certainly no extra remuneration for nurses. It's more about implementing at local individual hospital management level the previous protocols that were agreed. Well, to assess what it means, as well as the good news that there'll be no cancellation of elective treatments in hospital, Dr. Fergal Hickey, consultant in emergency medicine in Sligo and communications officer with the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine, joins us on the line. Good morning, Fergal.
Good morning, Ivan.
What's your reaction to this? Was it much ado about very little? And how big a problem are local individual hospital managements in making changes?
Well, we certainly welcome it. I mean, nobody wants to see industrial action in the emergency department, but it's born, that situation was born out of intense frustration as a failure to solve a problem that's been going on for a long time. I wouldn't say it's much ado about nothing, because unfortunately emergency department overcrowding kills people. So, you know, we're talking about people's lives here. It's important.
Well, what I meant by that, the difference between what was rejected by 58% and 42%, which did include extra leave for nurses, more promotional positions, a new protocol, between that agreement that was rejected and what's now to be done, it seems in substance to be very little difference.
Yeah, and I think the issue is about trust. I mean, nobody believes that the HSE will deliver on its commitments. Across the board, that's the reality. You know, it's a system which is characterized by a lack of trust. So although HSE Central may have signed up to a series of steps as part of the original settlement proposals, the nurses on the ground had no expectation that they would actually be followed through, because we do have escalation protocols, we do have plans, we do have various things which should happen, and in many cases don't happen, or when they do happen, they happen too late.
Why is that?
So I think, well, I suppose from a hospital management perspective, they have conflicting priorities. They're expected to manage multiple things simultaneously, keep loads of balls in the air, and to be honest, there is an acceptance in many hospitals that for a patient to remain in a trolley beyond the time of a decision to admit is acceptable. And of course it isn't, because as I said, it does kill people. And you know, we need to make sure that we don't lose sight of this. Now, some of the accusations that were made when there were financial inducements made were well wide of the mark. One of the issues that we perhaps don't appreciate as much as we should is that emergency departments are both understaffed, and we have evidence to show that, but also that we're losing experienced nurses. So many of our nurses, and you can't run an emergency department without nurses, and you certainly need experienced, competent, capable nurses who can tell the difference between sick and well and can intervene at an early stage, particularly in the situations of chaos that they find themselves in. But we were losing those, so people were opting out. Experienced nurses were saying to themselves, I can't carry on doing this. I would rather give up, retire where they could, or go off into something else which may not have been their chosen specialty within nursing, but at least they felt they were safer in, and they weren't putting their registration and their health and their mental health at risk on an ongoing basis.
Are there people turning up at A&E in emergency departments that shouldn't be there?
There are always going to be some people turning up to emergency departments who don't belong there, but they're not the patients who end up on trolleys. And this is one of the great myths that keeps being perpetuated, is that if we turn off demand, in some way we'll solve the problem. The people on trolleys are the people who require hospital admission. So the people with the strokes, with the heart attacks, with the pneumonias, with the intestinal obstruction, with the appendicitis, all the conditions which require somebody to come into hospital. So the patients on trolleys are not inappropriate attenders. And even if you got rid of every single inappropriate attendance, and it's not as big a number as people often speculate on, that wouldn't have any impact at all on the number of people on trolleys. So we need to be careful that we don't end up trying to fix the wrong problem. And the HSC has often tried to do this. It thinks that by investing in primary care that it's going to solve the trolley problem. It won't. Many of the patients who end up in trolleys have been referred by their GP because they have a condition which requires hospital admission. So turning off the demand is not going to have any impact. In the same way that it hasn't had any impact in the NHS, it hasn't had any impact in Australia or in the US. I mean, this is just nonsense that's perpetuated. What we need to recognise is the number of patients coming to emergency departments who are likely to need hospital admission. That number is going up on an ongoing basis, and it reflects medical successes. So patients that would have died in the past are no longer dying from difficult or complex medical conditions, but the price of their survival is that every so often they have an exacerbation of the underlying condition and end up coming back to hospital. So we have an increasing demand, and we simply don't have the capacity to deal with these patients, which is why emergency departments are crowded with admitted inpatients.
Finally, from a patient perspective, this disagreement and the implementation of this agreement, will it mean less than 400 or 500 people on trolleys in a given day? Will it improve patient safety?
It should. If it is carried, none of us have seen the exact detail of what has been agreed and the oversight mechanisms and how they'll be judged. But the hope is that the clock will start from the moment that you step through the doors or are pushed through the doors of an emergency department. So from the patient's perspective, that's the only time that matters. So there was, in a directive that was sent around before Christmas from the HSC, there was deliberate ambiguity in that. It wasn't clear when the clock started. The only time the patient is interested in is when they arrive in the emergency department and they want to be either admitted or discharged within 6 hours of attendance in 95% of cases, and 100% of cases they need to be admitted or discharged within 9 hours. I would hope that if what is intended is carried through and if the oversight mechanisms are in place to achieve that, then we'll see fewer patients on trolleys. But remember, the underlying problem is we don't have enough capacity, so we don't have the beds into which to admit these patients, or in some cases the beds are occupied by patients who should be somewhere else, and that's a problem that needs to be fixed, although, as the Minister has said, that's a longer-term problem to resolve.
Dr. Fergal Hickey, Consultant in Emergency Medicine in Sligo Hospital and Communications Officer with the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine. Thank you for joining us on News Talk Breakfast.